What's up, everybody? Coming live to you from Pittsburgh, Eternal Weekend. This is Hardcast, presented by Duress Crew. My name is Bradley Stone. Today I am joined by...
What up? I'm Billy Mills Curran. Howdy.
And Nick Mayo.
And we are going to be just giving you guys a quick rundown on our journey through Pittsburgh, which I have to say is, I think, one of my favorite cities that I've been to. Billy, you had a pretty good explanation of the comparisons between our hometown, Worcester, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh is 50% bigger, but the thing about Pittsburgh is that it used to be much, much, much wealthier.
Yeah,
like Worcester had like medium industry, but what Pittsburgh had like heavy industry,
actual industry. Yeah.
So as like the U.S. transitioned from like a service or from a heavy industry in manufacturing to like service and tech, Pittsburgh still had this like huge infrastructure left over, as well as these like beautiful historic buildings left behind by dead billionaires.
Yeah, the downtown is so pretty.
Yeah, beautiful architecture.
Did you go for a stroll yesterday, Nick?
No, I didn't. I was sitting in line waiting to get my survival sign by Pete Venters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jay, Billy, and I did a quick stroll through downtown to get some coffee during the event. Everything was beautiful. It's also snowing here, notably. It's a beautiful, cozy little thing that we got going on in Airbnb right now. There's six of us jammed up here. Also worth noting how cheap Pittsburgh is. It's like we're paying less than $600 for 5 nights at an Airbnb.
Yeah, it's a sick deal.
It was so cheap getting down here. Like, everything about Pittsburgh just fucking rules, and I love it. And Eternal Weekend is also fantastic.
Yep, yep. We played some... Yesterday, we played some Legacy, some PM. We're not going to get too into it. Y'all know how it goes.
Don't need to get into the weeds, but we all had a good time. Nick got some amazing... signatures.
Well, you and I both got our diamonds signed.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
both look awesome.
I did not.
Right, but the survivals that you got, the survivals are, I think, going to be the signature of the weekend.
Yeah. Any Dreadnought players, if you get a chance to get your Dreadnought shadow signed by Pete, definitely do it.
What was the, he said, was it brutal? Like, what was the name of the signature style that you got?
He called it threatening. He was like, oh, this is what I call threatening, and it's like red on black.
Yeah, and it just looks so sick.
Hard.
Yep. But yeah, we got the crew down here. So a couple of people rolled in last night at 2 in the morning, so nice full Airbnb.
Yep. We saw some other crews show up. Rock Royals.
Yep.
They were there.
Yep.
I haven't seen any Impulse crew. I think they got a little scared this year.
No, I'm just kidding. We do need to... Carl sent us a little voice pipe or whatever.
That's right.
Speak pipe, and we do need to read that.
Yeah.
Just so the Impulse crew knows, we only talk shit because we love y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
If we're talking shit, it's because we like you.
Yep.
But,
that's the Dress Crew way.
Yep. But yeah, the venue for Eternal Weekend is amazing as ever. Everything is super cheap. Meeting the artists was awesome. Just being in that huge event space, I just love it. Like, you're kind of like lost in like this huge, amazing, like essentially playground, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so
it's like
cool.
Disney World. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you can just like, the prices aren't that much better or that much worse than you would find on the internet for all the cards, but you can find stuff that you normally would never think about. Like, oh, maybe I do want an HHP Wheel of Fortune for like 165. Like, I wasn't really considering a Wheel of Fortune, but if you got one with like a cigarette burn in it, like, I might buy it.
That I can just like play in AAA.
Exactly.
Well, it's like, of course the prices are worse at these things, but you do have the benefit of being able to hold and look at the card you're buying before you buy it. And there's no shipping. There's none of that. There's no like, oh, I ordered something, I didn't get it. It's right there.
Yeah. And there's been some pretty cool memorabilia to go through as well. I bought, I spent way too much money on a stack of Duelist magazines. I think I got like 9 of them. And there was a couple more to pick through. There's like old empty deck boxes from pre-cons.
Pro Tour Honolulu flip-flops.
Yeah, just like all this like really cool old six swag. And I think this is like one of the few places that you ever see that type of stuff. Like, every time that I go into a comic book shop, I, like, ask them about Duelist magazines, Inquest, Scryer, anything like that, and they never have them. Yeah. Like, they're never available anywhere.
And it's also, like, the stores have this stuff in their closets, but they don't bring them to Pioneer ReCQs. Like, right. Why would they?
Yeah, why would they?
They wouldn't sell.
Yeah, we were talking about bootlegging those flip-flops last night. I think that we gotta do that.
Oh, like the Duress Crew, like Adidas. We'll get some tall socks.
Oh, that'd be so sick.
And the Adidas slip-ons.
Dude, that's a fit right there.
Chilling in the B-boy stance.
Yeah. And we also have been doing a little bit of networking, which has been cool, for LobsterCon. I won't drop any spoilers or anything like that at this point, but suffice to say, we have been talking to certain artists and we have been talking to certain vendors and just getting things more locked in and dialed in. And I can say that y'all are going to be in for a treat if everything plays out the way that we are hoping for.
Yeah, and I guess we can say that Sick Deals is one of the vendors. They already posted about it, but they're not here. That's a Massachusetts connect that we'll have at LobsterCon next year.
Yep, those are just some of our homies that we have known forever. Like, what is it, 3 to 4 dudes from the Duress Crew work at Sick Deals. So they're just a fine establishment out of our local hometown. But as far as, you know, EW goes and the artists and vendors here, we've definitely been doing some chatting and trying to pull as many strings as we possibly can.
You guys have any cool notable opponents from any of your... So we played a Legacy 3 rounder and a PM 3 rounder.
Yeah.
Anybody play any notable people?
Nicholas?
No one's super notable. I mean, I played against Coach. People know Coach in the community. And then I played against two people who was their, like, first and, like, fourth time playing pre-modern, which is really cool to see. One of them was this dude, Sean. He was really cool. He played Stasis. I felt bad. Elves versus Stasis is horrible for him. And
New to the format.
And I played against I played against this player who thought him and his friend thought this was so cool. He was playing Red Green Oath, and I was like, oh, like, Billy's playing at a table, like, across me. I'm like, this deck didn't exist last year, and the guy who helped make that deck is sitting right over there.
Yep.
Like, that's what's so cool about this format.
Yeah.
And they thought that was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. I like, all my opponents were just pleasant to be around. All of them were newer to the format, which was kind of interesting to see. It seems like there was a lot of people that were coming down for other formats, but just branching off into pre-modern, that were interested in it, trying it out for the first time, and all having a really good experience with it. One of my opponents in Legacy was from Montreal, and I chatted him up a ton about pre-modern, gave him some stickers and everything, and was pretty much selling him and his crew on it, because he was playing Storm. So I was telling him all about the Iggy Pop, which he didn't even know from back in the day. So I was, like, telling him about Iggy Pop loops, and then, like, his friend came over and was talking about, like, shallow graving an Emrakul and killing somebody, and I was like, yo, if you like shallow graving an Emrakul, I got a deck for you in pre-modern.
Oh, yeah. I would say I had, like, two notable opponents. One was in Legacy, so I'm on, like, Bug Storm, or, like, Paradise Lost, whatever, and I'm playing against this guy who his first time playing Magic was Legacy, and he has just been playing Magic for 6 months, and I start off, like, you know, like, Lotus Petal, and then I play, like, Veil of Summer. And he goes, oh, what could you be up to? Do I let this resolve? Like, am I going to lose? You don't have very much mana. The Veil sticks, and I put a dice down. I'm like, Storm Count 2. He's like, oh, I heard about this deck. I'm like, dude, hell yeah.
I didn't play this guy, but I played next to this guy.
Yeah, great energy. Yeah.
His opponent was playing Mystic Forge. And his opponent played Karn the Great Creator. And not only did he play Karn the Great Creator, he played that Secret Lair version that has, like, all the text in, like, a paragraph version. Yeah. And the guy goes, oh, what's that card? And I'm like, oh, he's in a world of hurt. Yeah. Oh, honey.
That thing is a travesty to graphic design.
And so they had to call the judge over. The guy learned what the card was. And he gracefully was just taking this dude, blowing up all his lands with Karn and the artifact that helps him blow up lands. And I was like, wow, this guy seems really cool for... just getting his land strip mined every turn.
Yeah, just getting shit on. Yeah.
Then PM. You want to move to PM?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just whatever. Played 4-color Terrigan. Reb continues to rock. The last round I played against Sylvia from Milwaukee, and she is lately been promoting Milwaukee 1Ks, which have really been kicking up. she was courteous. She was a very precise player and was able to like crack jokes and like be funny without affecting the pace of play. Like actually a joy to play against. So keep doing what you're doing, Sylvia. It was great meeting you. And if you're in Wisconsin, show up to her events.
Does she run events?
She doesn't run events, but she's pushing them because you know, ostensibly she cares about the format. Yeah. So
cool. Yeah, I played Mr. T yesterday, which was really fun. I'm just playing Terror Ganon Brews every day, and I really wanted to cast some Devastating Dreams. So I played Mr. T yesterday. I went 3-0. I had a bunch of fun games. Devastating Dreams won me a bunch of games, which I was stoked on. And today I'm switching it up reluctantly, even though I want to keep on playing it. But I played against Black White Control. I played against The Solution, and I played against Tinfins. And it was just a resounding fun time. All of my opponents were cool. Like I said, a lot of them were new to pre-modern and just checking it out for the first time. But yeah, it was sweet. I had a great time. Nicholas.
Yeah, pre-modern, I played, like I mentioned, I played against Stasis round one. Round two, I played against Replenish. I got stomped. And then I played against Regan Oath, and I got there 2-1 total. All my opponents were really cool, and I had a great time.
Hell yeah. So today, what are we doing today, boys?
We're going to play some Legacy to kill the time until we can go to a Rochester Royals event because they're running a Rogue event. We're going to show up, and we're going to win.
That's the goal. Last year, Nicholas Mayo took it down and won the Stamped Devourer. But very, very excited for this. Obviously, this is one of the highlights of our trip down here. Super appreciate the Rochester boys for putting this on. It was a great time last year, and I'm just excited to get down there and hang out with everybody. I mean, this is the DIY off the beaten path, you know, the type of shit that we're obviously super into. So, yeah.
I love playing in breweries and stuff like that. It's so fun.
Yeah, the vibe is just fantastic. Yeah. Like, there, you know, no judge calls, no bullshit like that. Like, we're just hanging out, having a good time, drinking some beers. I know that the event was sold out at 16 people, which is the number of seats that they can guarantee, and I know that more people will be coming down. So I think last year, how many was it last year, do you remember, Nick?
It was either 9 or 11 people.
Yeah, so last year was definitely a smaller gathering, and this year it's like could very well be like over 20 people, which is really exciting to see.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can get revenge on Bird from the Royals, who killed me with Reanimator on Reanimator versus Storm and Legacy. I'm coming for you.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, besides that, we're hanging out. We're drinking coffee. We're going to be getting down there soon. We're staying cozy here in this snowy, blustery Pittsburgh. We've been eating super well, cooking at the Airbnb, obviously. I think it's pretty safe to say that our recipe for the weekend is some nice charred broccoli on the stovetop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just toast up your broccoli, like, you know, cook your broccoli on the stovetop with some olive oil, and then just like the last step is to like turn it up from like 5 to 7, let it sit for like 5 minutes and get a char on one side of it. Adds a lot of flavor. That's the recipe for the episode.
And also apples with poultry, A+.
Well, that's, yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, I know, that's a sneak peek.
Is that for a later episode?
That's the sneak peek.
Yeah.
So yeah, ready to close out?
I think so. We're about 15 minutes right now. Nicholas, is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, I mean, we're doing these bonus episodes, so we'll have an update for today, probably tomorrow or something, and you'll hear all about the Rochester event and how I took it down for a second time and all that. So
there we go. This man is packed full of confidence. But with that said, we are going to be getting out of here and heading over to the event after I do a super fast edit. The levels for this one will be better, so I will not be blowing out any eardrums this time.
Yep. Not in a car.
Yep.
Right. Yep. Hell yeah. All right. Peace out, everybody. Peace. And talk to you soon.
Bye.